We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
The joy that engenders us to Him. I think sometimes in our research and reading, we miss like some of His humor, some of His candor. I think the very things that we like about Him are because we see ourselves. Now, hear me out. See ourselves a little bit in Jesus. Because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, come to this earth. But He's also created us in His image. And if He created us in His image, then we see a little bit. When we see God, sometimes it's hard to relate. But when we see Jesus, right? When we see Jesus, I get it. And if you don't, when you read Luke or Mark or John, if you don't see God in Jesus, if you don't get closer to God because Jesus makes it more tangible, then you're missing what the Gospels are about. You're supposed to learn more about God as you see some of Jesus' stories. When you read about Jesus, Jesus brings Emmanuel, God with us, to earth. A big reason why I think we are so often captivated by the Gospels is because there's a factor that draws us to Jesus because of His Christ-likeness is like us. It's one of our deepest desires to be like Jesus, not just as believers. And that's why I think it's easier to talk to people about Jesus than we think, because Jesus created them and He created us and He made us in His image. And there's something about Jesus that everyone is attracted to, that Christ-likeness that everyone wants to attain to and that has been there all along in their lives. He's always been. It might be called a God-shaped hole. The atheist, she is desiring something that they don't even know that they're desiring. It's because Jesus created them. When we see who Jesus really is, it doesn't seem so far-fetched that others might come to Him. John explains this longing of Jesus that has always been there. This is a little bit philosophical right now, and then we'll get into some more three points, okay, in a minute. But John says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. It goes on, you can read it, John 1:1, it talks. That's the same longing that I think people don't even realize that they have. We shouldn't be so hesitant when we consider talking to others because they have more in common with Jesus, God. God loves you, yes, but Jesus loves you. They have more in common with Jesus than they even realize when it is woken up inside of them. He wants to do the same to us too as well today. We're going to wake up over the series to being more like Jesus. We were asleep. We were once asleep and now we are awake. And Jesus, you know, sometimes when you wake up and you're still not fully awake, when I called my daughter this morning, I said, are you up yet? And she doesn't even respond. I say, I need my Bible. It's got my notes in it. And she says, she didn't say anything. I said, you got to speak. I don't even hear what you're saying. She's awake, but she's not awake. And I think sometimes as Christians, we're awake, but we need to be woken up more. And certainly, if we're not a believer yet, we are certainly asleep, and we need to be woken up more. And a way to show that is maybe say something right now. Say amen. Are you awake? Are you awake? Okay. He wants to bring us closer to Him. And I think the best way to wake up to more of Jesus is to look at Jesus. Look at Him in His natural habitat, the earth. Look at what He did. Look at how He acted. Look how He talked to people. This is what we're doing in this series, which essentially is seeing how we are to act ourselves. Last week, we talked about meek Jesus. Not weak Jesus, meek Jesus. Pastor Thomas did a great job. The week before, we talked about bringing people, making a bridge better to people. We like to break bridges to people. We say, oh, I want you to meet Jesus. Break the bridge. I can't meet Jesus because you broke the bridge between me and him by being mean to me, by being judgmental, by whatever you did. I don't have a bridge now. We're supposed to build bigger bridges. The week before that, we talked about something that is kind of like out there, but is also very tangible, and that is the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to continue today. We talked a little bit about it, and this is the second part of that. And don't be bored by this word, the kingdom of heaven, because you're going to see that it's who we are. It's who Jesus wants us to be. It's who he wants us to act like. And so I'm going to title this today Upside Down, because we started talking about that part B of Upside Down. Lord, we thank you for being who you are. You're just amazing. And Lord, I know we don't have time to go through every sentence in the Bible. I mean, maybe over the next 20 years we can get there, but we don't have time to go everywhere. But let us get a few takeaways that we can take from your life that'll help us be more like Christ, because when we be more like you, people will see you. It's not just about doing. Well, I did this. I went to church. I read my Bible. I worshiped. I raised my hands. I gave in the offering. It's doing is good, but we need relationship with you, and help us to get closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question that I think I know the answer to. Has anyone in the room ever wanted to be rich? Have you ever wanted to be rich? Yes, yeah. I see all the smiles in the room. We all want to, that would be nice. I don't understand people that say, well, you know, if you're rich, then it's just like, I'm rich and I'm just like all of you. I have the same problem. No, you don't. You don't have the same problems as I do. I think that rich people can pay for certain problems. They can take care of things. I don't think that it's always a bad thing to be rich. It can't be that bad. They say, oh yeah, it's the same problems. Yes, and I know they have different problems, but I would like to be rich, and has nothing to do with any. No, it does. Because one day Jesus met a rich man. He met a rich man, and he knew exactly what was going on in the man's heart. Because why? Because Jesus is Jesus. He is God. And he sees the man, and he says, hey, rich man. I don't know what he said. The rich man actually came to him. And the rich man said to him, oh, man, Jesus, you're so awesome. You're amazing. I love the way you, like, do everything that you do, miracles, and the way you just have life, it just exudes off you, and I want some of that life on me. And Jesus is like, oh, this guy is just confused. He doesn't know what he's asking. And the thing is, the rich man did have a lot of things, but he saw something in Jesus that he wanted. Right then, he didn't necessarily just want the fountain of youth to live forever. He wanted what Jesus had right then. He wanted life. And Jesus said, okay, you can have life. Just go and sell all your possessions and then come back and follow me. And the man looked sad. And Jesus didn't it says then Jesus went on his way. Jesus didn't go, oh, man, oh, dude, I want to help you. I wish you weren't sad. I wish I could. And Jesus had compassion, but it was like he knew. This man doesn't really want to follow me. He doesn't want life, because what he wants is what he wants, what we all want. We want what we want, and we don't want what Jesus wants to give us. And he wasn't mad at the guy. He didn't care if the guy was rich. He didn't care if the guy was famous. None of that was wrong. He just cared that those things were taking the place of Jesus. And the man walked away sad. And then Jesus brought his friends over to him, the disciples, and he said, it's harder for a rich man to get to heaven, to follow me, to be a Christian, to surrender their life, than for that camel right over there. And commentaries say different things, but a lot of them think that there was a gate right close by called the Eye of the Needle, in their language, whatever it was called. And there was a camel. He said, it would be harder for that camel right there to go through that gate. And they probably laughed. Oh, really? That's impossible. That camel never goes. Camels go through those gates, but they never go through that gate. Regardless of what was going on here, he was making a point, right? He's making a point that it's impossible. There's nothing in what Carl can do on his own that will get you to heaven. There is nothing I can do, no good sermon, no good deed, no good journal entry that is going to get me to heaven. It is impossible for me to do it on my own. You must have Jesus, and you must give him everything. Theologians, move on. Jesus wants to get through our thick skulls that it is not our pursuit of money or business or fame. It's not about winning a Golden Globe Award or an Academy Award or an Emmy Award or a Grammy Award. It's not about being famous. That's something in our culture that teenagers and adults, we seem to think is cool. And it is. It's cool. We seem to worship it. But the truth is, I'm sorry, I have small ears. So the truth is, none of those things are going to get us to closer to Jesus. All activities in our culture that we value of greatest importance, Jesus says to them, okay, you know, I know what you believe about this. I know what you believe about this and this and this. Now, turn it upside down. Like, literally think opposite of the way you're thinking, Tim. You're thinking the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with wealth or platforms or success, but he called us to be a part of the kingdom where those things might be a byproduct, but they're not our pursuit. Our pursuit, what we're supposed to be going after, what we're running after, what we're living for is for Jesus. We're not for a relationship with Jesus. Not for things. Jesus says it this way. Kingdom of heaven-minded people are like this. To live, you want to live, you have to die. On Easter, I'm going to challenge our congregation and those that are here with us with something that's not doesn't sound pretty, but to be, I'll just be quiet. I'll move on. In dying, we live. You're like, what was I going to say? I'm going to tell them to have a resurrection in our life, you have to die as well. People don't like to die. To be blessed with finances, we have to give. It's backwards. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. When Jesus asked the man to sell all he had to follow, the man wasn't ready and willing to take that jump. Very similarly to this next story. Because Jesus told about God through stories, through actions, through parables. This one is not a true story. This is a parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man has a field, or he's in a field. He finds a treasure in the field. When a man found, like a treasure hidden in the field, when a man found it, he hid it again. He hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Making the point that he's walking through a field, he sees $1 million in the field. I don't know why you just don't take it and leave, but maybe it was oil or something, gold, and he couldn't get it yet. So he left, he bought the field so he could have that thing, because that thing was everything. That's what the kingdom is like. That's what Jesus is. That's what Jesus wants us to be like. When we meet Jesus, we say, now we don't want to keep it to ourselves, but it's almost like, I just met someone and he changed my life and now I need to get rid of everything else so that I have Jesus in my life so that nothing else matters. Again, verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like the merchant, if we didn't get it the first time, looking for fine pearls. How many have been out this week looking for fine pearls? We haven't, but he's looking for fine pearls, okay? When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought that pearl because he knew, wow, look how amazing that is. That's what Jesus is like. You see, Jesus is trying to help us see that the kingdom is Everything. Everybody say that. Everything. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life is everything. It's not part of it. It's everything. It's not this. Oh, I found this field. I found this Jesus. I found this relationship. I found what the secret of life is, living for Jesus. Now, how much would it cost for me to buy this? Like, how much could I give you this much? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, you give everything. You give whatever it takes. I hear this all the time with teenagers, and adults do this. They just don't admit it. How much could I get away with and still, like, be a Christian, still go to heaven? Like, how much? I wonder if I could lie just a little bit, if I could just do a little bit. No, it's not how much. It's not, do I have to go to church? It's not, do I have to read my Bible? It's not, do I have to have? It's give Jesus everything and watch what he does. Watch what he does with it. When my job requires things, then what do I do? Because I want to give Jesus everything, but I work. So, you know, what do I do there? I have to make money because I have to pay my bills and my taxes. And Jesus had an answer for this too. He said, hey, show me what's the picture on your money. Let me see it. It's Caesar. Well, give to him what is his, do his, and then give to God what is God's. So do what you need to do, but still you keep in mind what is God's in your life, and you'll realize, wow, everything belongs to God. Oh, that's not a nice story to hear, because I would rather you tell me how I can do it easy. I want the easy way. I want to serve Jesus, but I want to live easy. Well, that's really not the Christian way. That's not really what a believer does. The Bible says, Jesus said to the people, oh, you don't get it. Narrow is the road, and very, very few actually go down it because they're too flaky, right? Right? Jesus was constantly calling people to realize they live in another kingdom. So the first point, I guess I would say, is that kingdom people let go of everything, okay? Second point is this. Kingdom people, I only have 3 points, and the first one was the longest, so. Kingdom people don't have to rely on, this is the deep one. And this is kind of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not going to go into it too much. Kingdom people don't have to rely on accomplishments and being good and success and doing things to be good with God. They don't have to have those to be successful. Accomplishments don't equal success in the kingdom. Sometimes doing nothing equals success in the kingdom. Would you just wait with me, guys? For 1 hour, would you just wait with me? He told the Mary and Martha, would you just see what your sister's doing? You're working, she's doing nothing, but I want what she's doing. Sometimes success is not always doing, 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 making money, achieving, achieving, achieving. You ever had a bad interview? You ever had a bad doctor's appointment? You ever felt like things were not going your way? Have you ever invested in someone, like in youth ministry, this is like this all. You invest in someone, you give them all your time, and then all of a sudden they're gone. They just disappeared, and it didn't amount to anything. Have you ever thought, I've done so much, I've been such a good dad, such a good mom, right? I've been such a good parent, and look at what I have to show for it, nothing. I'll tell you this, Jesus would say to you, sometimes that's okay. You don't have to have anything to show for it. You don't have to get your investment back, because my kingdom is not always about accomplishing. It's about just being obedient, and I'll take care of the rest. If you give your money away to a poor person and they blow it on something, that's not your business. If you give to the Lord, if you give your time, if you try to do everything, it's not your business. God takes care of the rest. You just be generous. You just be thankful. You just follow Christ. If you watch Jesus, his equation for changing the world, it wasn't a very good one, because he lived only 3 years on the earth. He took his time with people. He would help someone that didn't deserve his help, and then someone that seemed like they did, he just kept moving. And he made people not like him. He ended up getting killed. It was like, this is not the equation. But kingdom people don't live by that. Get the podcast. We went into that a little bit more about kingdom people, about that whole thing. And I'm going to just keep moving on here. We don't pursue success and accomplishments. We pursue Jesus. That's what you pursue. You don't pursue your accomplishments. Don't pursue your relationships. I got to get married. I got to have this. I got to get a raise. I got to get this job. You pursue Jesus. That's what a kingdom person does. That's what a Jesus person does. Well, wait, you don't understand. I have other things I have to pursue too. They'll come if you would just sell everything and follow me. That's what he told the guy. Doesn't mean for you have to sell everything. Unless he told you to sell everything and follow him. It's so freeing when you live this way. It's not up to me. I like that with the church. It's not up to me when this church grows. If it grows, who gets healed, how the Holy Spirit moves. I'm simply called to give. We're simply called to be generous. We're simply called to be available, to be open. God, whatever you want to do, you will do. But I must follow him at all costs. I must obey him. Let's move on. The last one, kingdom people. First one, kingdom people let go of everything. Kingdom people. Second one, kingdom people don't necessarily look at success by accomplishments. And the third one is this: kingdom people are seed people. Everybody, try to smile with me. Okay, smile. I don't feel like smiling. Well, smiling's good. Supposedly, my mom said that. Sometimes I don't believe her, but she said smiling takes less muscles than frowning. Is that true? I think it's harder to smile. When you wake up in the morning, it's hard to smile. It's hard to look in this mirror and smile. Isn't it much easier to frown and be like, oh my gosh, look at my face. Oh my gosh, 40 years old. Ever since I turned 40, I start getting, yeah, that's what happens. You start getting older, you start looking older. It's no good. So supposedly smiling is easier. I know it's not. That's why I'm telling you, smile for a minute. Because Jesus says, the people in this church, it makes me so mad. Back in that day, not your church. They make me so mad because the pastors, they make it so hard for people to serve Jesus. They make it so hard to be a follower of God. They tell everyone they have to do this, and they make it hard, and then they can never do it. And Jesus says, my burden is light. It's light. It's easy. Relax. My yoke is easy. In other words, those two oxen, they're walking. That's the yoke, that thing that between them. It's light. It's easy. It's not a burden to live for Jesus. Although it's harder. He's full of paradoxes. I know he's full of seemingly contradictions. But the more you look into it, they're not contradictions. They're truth. They're truth. The more you die, the more you live. And it's easy. Kingdom people are seed people. Right before Jesus tells a story about the last thing we talked about the field and the treasure, he tells a story about a seed. It's a short story. It's a really short story. It's just like a couple of verses. He says, my kingdom, what I want you guys to do, it's just like a mustard seed. Now, none of us relate with how many have planted a lot of mustard seeds in your life. No, not really. But you get the idea. I've heard, and whether this is completely true or not, what commentaries say, the mustard seed's the smallest seed. When it grows, it's the biggest tree. But regardless, any seed is small. When it's a seed, it's small. And he says, my kingdom is like a seed. It's like the mustard seed. In our society, we want to see our return immediately. I went to church on Sunday. I'm expecting God to do this and this and this. I prayed once. Now, you got to come through, God. If you don't, I'm blaming you. I'm not coming back for Easter unless you do it. We want our return immediately. We say we are Christ-like, but we are so impatient, right? We're so impatient. If we don't see the fruit in living for Jesus right now, I am not living for him today. I'm going to lie. I'm going to do it. I'm going to speed. I'm going to steal. I'm going to cuss. I'm going to do whatever I want to because I'm not seeing the fruit yet. When we try to become generous, we try to stop worrying. We try to die to our lust because we all have lust. Lust always is compared with sex and things like, yeah, really just sex. But there's lust in every area of our lives. We try not to lust, but then we give up when we don't see my victory. I want to see a victory. I just sang it at church. How come I haven't seen the victory yet? When we don't see it right away, we give up because our blessing didn't come today because I gave yesterday, so forget it. I'm not going to serve you. And Jesus says, come on, guys, be like me. Be a kingdom person. It's we're seed people. We plant later, sometimes much later, sometimes earlier than you think. I saw a blade of grass yesterday coming out of the ground. Maybe it was a weed, but still it was green. And I think it was earlier than it should be. And sometimes you'll see that. You'll see, oh, wow, I'm seeing life spring up in my life earlier than I thought. Oh, my gosh, Jesus, you must know that I'm impatient. I need you to do this. The kingdom is like a tree planted in soil, Jesus says. I skipped ahead a minute. I want to say this. Jesus comes on the scene and says, chill. When we want today what we gave yesterday, he says, it's like a mustard seed. When the season comes, it will happen. We see Christians that are discouraged, depressed, worried, nervous, giving up, doubting. Believers do this because they think their season is here. And it's not always your season. It's not always going to be summer for you. You're going to have a February. You're going to have a January. You're going to have some snow days. But I promise you, kingdom people are seed people, and seeds grow. Maybe I can't make a seed grow. Maybe I can't make a tomato grow in my garden. But Jesus is the best gardener there is. And he will make it grow. Don't try. Rest in the gardener and watch your life yield fruit. I'm finished. I'm going to say a couple of things. Paul, would you come up and play? And we'll close today. I want to just take a moment. Would you just calm your spirit, calm your mind, calm your heart? And I say this to you, Lord, at least in my life, I'll pray for myself, but you can pray for yourself if you want. I'm sorry that it's hard because it's so upside down. It's so upside down to what I'm used to. Lord, help me to see your way better. Help me to see you. You know, a seed, and I said this before, open your eyes. I've said this before. A seed, when it goes into the ground, is in a dark place. If you were to see it under the ground, it's not pretty. It's ugly. I believe it decomposes. I believe that that it dies for the most part because these weird little things are growing up in it, these little green sprouts. And as they start to come out, they're even ugly themselves. I think that's a picture. That's why Jesus over and over explains our lives living in the kingdom like seeds. Because we sure feel ugly. We sure think we're ugly. We sure often think we're in a dark place, in an obscure place. But when you least expect it, if you keep watering it, and sometimes even when you don't water it, sometimes it's only God. It's his sunlight. It's his water. And you're doing nothing. And then when you least expect it, It comes out of the ground, and it can be a beautiful flower. Die to live. That's what Jesus says. Kingdom people see success differently. They see accomplishment differently. They see how their investments are working differently because they know that Jesus is in charge. I want to ask you a question. I know the answer. How many are ready to see flowers bloom in this snow that we are in? How many are ready to see green grass in your yard? I don't believe that I will have green grass. How brown it is, how ugly it looks. And I'm serious. I really don't believe I will see it. I think mine died. I think my whole, maybe not. We'll see. I will be amazed if anything turns green in my yard. But usually, if I just trust in the principle, that's what happens here, right? I guess brown turns to green. And that's what happens as a believer. Trust me. No, don't trust me. Trust Jesus, right? He said, my kingdom is like seeds. It's so important that Jesus reminds us that kingdom people are seed people, because it'll help those here who feel like you're failing, but you don't see how much fruit you are actually producing in your season. It's coming. You're producing. And some of you are in your season and you don't even realize it. You don't even see it in yourself. That's why it's good when someone encourages you. Lord, we thank you for this day. Would you stand with me? Thank you for how easy it is to understand you, because you talked in ways that a first grader could understand. But for some reason, I would be the first to admit it, and probably I would think there'd be some other honest people in the room. I would be the first to admit that I don't follow your principles. I want to get right now. I want to see success right now. I want to live for you, but I don't want to give you everything. I want to do my own thing. And when you say, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for Stephen to make it to heaven because he's sinful. And so I take this time right now and I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for the times that I try to do it on my own, that I try to make a deal with you, that I ask for a discount. Yes, I got a deal at McDonald's, so can I get a deal with you? How much do I have to give yet that I could still like be a good Christian and you could still bless me? Is there anyone in the room with your eyes closed? And I would hope we would all be open enough to admit that we could do better. Would you say you could do better at being a kingdom person? You could give more. You could be more generous. You could not rely on your accomplishments so much, that you would try to be a seed person. You would plant your seeds and not worry about it and let God do what he needs to. How many would agree you could do better at that? Would you raise your hand? Amen. God sees all of our hands. Would you say this prayer with me? And I haven't figured it out what I'm going to say. So just would you just say it with me anyways? Okay. Jesus, it's a good way to start a prayer. As I leave this place today, I make a commitment, another commitment, to be a light wherever I go, to do things with my hands open, not try to get back for myself. Lord, let it not be about me, me, me. Say that. Say it again. Lord, let it not be about me, me, me. You're all almost like, oh my gosh, I'm already dying to even say this, because it is about me. No, it isn't. And I'm going to, in the middle of this prayer, I'm going to just say, I feel like there's a word for many of you. When you're feeling sorry for yourself or when you think you need help, often the medicine for you is to help somebody else. to look for that other person that is going through their financial crisis or their addiction or their crisis with their kids and encourage them. Watch what happens, because this is what I do. And sometimes it's because of my job, because I'm a pastor, so I go places. Sometimes I don't even want to. I'll go to the hospital and visit Tim, who was in the hospital. Maybe I didn't want to. But when you go and you give, and I know I stopped praying here, but when you go and you give, something comes back into you. And I think that's what Jesus means when he says, die to yourself and you'll live. Give and it will be given unto you. Because you know what gave me more life that day than anything was going to the hospital and hanging out with Nancy while Tim was in a surgery. Thankfully, God, you've touched Tim. And Lord, we're all going to pray. Lord, I pray for Tim right now in Jesus' name. Complete recovery on his body. Complete healing of those arteries in Jesus' name. That his heart would be a 100%. That he would not worry, would not have fear in Jesus' name. Folks, when you give of yourself, God gives back to you. It's a stream. It's not a swamp. Don't be a swamp. Give to others. It'll probably fix your problems too.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.